Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everybody. Today is August 5th, 2014, and it is 10 a.m. You are listening live with Unveiling the Psychic Truth with myself, Courtney Overfield, and we have a wonderful guest returning today, Shelley Paul from Illuminate Your Spirit. And today's show is all about mediumship. Now, back in June, we talked about mediumship, and everybody really seemed to enjoy the show, so we decided to do a mediumship part two. Now, that was supposed to take place in July, but sadly, my July show did get canceled. I had a family accident. My mom actually went horseback riding and fell off a horse, so I had to rush down to Tennessee to help out with her, and she is perfectly okay. She had surgery, and she's doing very well now, but due to that, I had to cancel the show for June. So luckily, Shelley was kind enough to come back on this month. For August, I'm sorry, I had to cancel it for July. But she was nice enough to come back on today for the August show to join me for Mediumship Part 2. Before I bring her on, I just wanted to mention something about my personal business. I am the sole owner of Divine Temperance. I offer readings, parties, events, product, all kinds of different services, and I've been doing this for quite a while now. But one of my new offers now is that I make custom prayer bead necklaces. They're, at least I believe that they're very beautiful. When Shelley comes on, she can tell you whether she thinks so or not, too. but one of my new offers now, right now is that I make these custom prayer bead necklaces. They are all one of a kind. They're made with stones, Reiki energy, healing energy, manifestation energy. They're very beautiful. They are jam-packed with energy to work for you. And like I said, they are one of a kind. I never repeat myself. But one of my new offers right now is that you can come in and get a reading, any type of reading you would like. You get a free consultation for a prayer bead necklace. And then within a week, you can actually come in and pick up your custom prayer bead necklace completely geared towards you and what we found out about you in the reading and the energy that you need to work with. So that's one of my new offers on the table. If anybody is interested in this, you're more than welcome to give me a call. My phone number is 313-516-8210. You can also check me out on Facebook where there is pictures of my prayer bead necklaces at Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield. And my website is up, divinetemperance.com. It is under an extreme amount of construction right now, but if you need any of my contact information, you're more than welcome to go there. So today's topic is about mediumship and a lot of the things that we didn't have a chance to cover when we did this show the first time. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Shelley Paul. She is the owner of Illuminate Your Spirit, one of my many good friends, and a wonderful reader. So welcome back to the show, Shelley.
Hi, Courtney. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks. We're doing good. I've had my coffee, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
Same here. I actually got my coffee before I sat down to do this morning. I thought, oh, boy, today's a coffee day.
It is. You know, it's raining and dreary, and, yeah, we need to have that little caffeine kick to kind of get us through.
I actually got really lucky. Yep, I got really lucky over the weekend. I bought some coffee with, like, the hazelnut and the vanilla and the cinnamon in it. So
yeah.
Now my whole office smells like that. So now I feel like I'm just rocking it in a coffee shop.
That's good. Awesome.
So we talked about mediumship in June, and we covered a lot of different things.
Yeah,
we talked about our first
experiences
with mediumship and bad spirits in the media and, you know, hard spirits we've had to read. And we covered a lot of different things, but there was also a lot of different things that we didn't get a chance to cover.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to come back on because, you know, I know that you are a professional psychic and medium, and so am I. And, you know, we tend to agree when it comes to a lot of things about mediumship.
Yes, we do. I think a lot of mediums, we all get it. People who haven't experienced some of the things we've experienced, they probably either think we're crazy or the coolest thing that, the best thing since sliced bread, you know. But life has definitely fun and exciting and completely different. And, you know, having children, it's very interesting to see that to start come out in my own kids. So especially my youngest, she's pretty intuitive. It's really interesting to see. It's definitely
now,
hereditary.
Psychic kids are amazing. I've actually had a lot of that come up lately, and I think one of my shows in the future, I'm actually going to talk more about psychic children and how parents out there can actually work with them and the perks and the downfalls and so forth.
Yep.
It is a hard adjustment to have a child who knows what you're up to.
Right. That's the truth. Yeah.
One of the things I always
too, so.
is if you have a psychic child, don't lie to them.
Yeah, right.
You right. see that coming
He's
a mile
truth.
And a half away.
Yeah, that's the truth. Very true.
But one of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about, and I thought that this was a little bit of an interesting roundabout way to talk about mediumship, is what does mediumship look like? A lot of people have expectation that, you know, things are going to be floating, you're going to hear voices, stuff's going to be thrown across the room.
Yeah, I think I'd be running out the door.
That has happened to me, and I still stayed.
Yeah. Well, you know me, I'm the only medium who's, like, terrified of ghosts, you know, when it comes to, you know, people, it's weird, it's a weird thing, I know, it's weird.
But, what do you think mediumship looks like? Like, when you do a mediumship session for a client or for somebody that you know or somebody in the community, what does that look like? You know, do you use tools? Do you just strictly pull? What does that look like? I think a lot of people don't understand what that looks like, and therefore, because of that, they're scared.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you why that's so important. And this right here, I think, is what changed my life and made me understand it. Because do you remember that show, Medium, that was on? So when she would see people, she would see them like as if they were any normal person standing in front of her, and she would have this full-blown conversation with them. Now, there are mediums out there who can do that, and I'm jealous, let me tell you what. But for me, I don't always see them like that. So it was very confusing. I kept thinking, well, I'm not a medium. I don't see my grandmother just sitting there and I'm having a full-blown conversation with her. So, you know, a lot of times I think that's why it was super scary for me growing up and even as a young adult, because I would feel this vibration or feel like somebody was in my personal space and I couldn't understand what it meant and all that stuff. So for me personally, I have learned in my journey, and anybody out there who's wanting to figure this out for themselves, it's all a process. You got to start from the beginning, read books, take classes, trust your instincts, and figure out how spirit works for you. Because what I do is completely different from what Courtney does. And then there are some things that we do that are similar. So how it comes to me is I get a very weird feeling that comes over me. It's like almost, God, how can I explain it? It's like, it's weird. It's like a vibration. It's like, yeah, I get real lightheaded. You know, for a long time, I thought I had sugar issues. I thought that every time when my dad comes to visit, we go antiquing. And every time I would go, I'd be like, Dad, I have to eat some protein before we go. And he would think like, okay, you know. And he's like, why do you need to do that? And I'm like, well, because I get really lightheaded and I think it makes my blood sugar go. No, it was because I would walk into these antique shops and all the spirit energy in there and just the energy from all that stuff affect me. And not realizing that that's what mediumship for me was. So that's how spirit lets me know they're around. So I get real lightheaded, real woozy. And then it's like I just know they're a man. I just know they're a woman. I don't know how I know. I just know. And I think because I'm very clairsentient and very claircognizant, which means I'm very sensitive, and I'm very – the cosmia is just like, you just know. You don't know how you know this. You just know. And then I start hearing them in my head. I have heard voices outside of me. I have heard voices like a man speaking or a different female, not just in my own voice. But it's like it's not my thought. I totally get the difference now after doing this for almost 10 years. I know what is my own internal thinking and what is completely outside of me. So that is what it looks like to me. Now, I have been starting to see more. I will get, like, you know, with your third eye, when they talk about your third eye and your psychic sight, it's weird. Clairvoyance is really cool because it's like your reality that you're looking at with your eyes disappears and you see just in front of you what spirit's trying to show you. So I've seen people where I can describe someone's grandfather to them because that's what he's showing me. But I don't see them standing behind her, if that makes any sense, you know. But it's that's what it looks like to me. And luckily for me, I can hear their messages. I have a lot of people that I know that see spirit clear as day, but they don't talk to them. And that would be awful. I feel bad when that happens because it's like how, you know, that would be frustrating. And, you know, sometimes I feel their presence and then I don't hear, they don't talk to me. And I get that. Like, I know you're here. What do you want? And they won't say anything. And then I have to tell them to leave because I don't play that game. So that's what it's like for me. I don't play that.
Now, the way it comes to me is a little bit different than Shelly's, you know, the way Shelly does it, because I can see them as clearly as I can see anybody. I can hear them as clearly as Shelly's talking to me right now, and I can also feel them as if they were actually touching me. I actually have all three, and I've been able to see spirit since I was very young. The problem growing up with that gift is the fact that sometimes it's very hard for you to determine the difference between somebody who is alive and somebody who is not.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. Like sometimes, even now though, sometimes people come in, I'm like, was that a spirit? Like, was that a spirit or was that a real person? Because, you know, sometimes I do question that. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, the first real awakening experience I had with that scenario was as I used to work for the library. I used to work for a library here in Michigan, and I loved that job. If anybody knows me personally, I love books. I have thousands and thousands of books. I love books.
Yeah.
So it was like my dream job. You know, I was 18 years old. I got to work in a library. I wasn't spending my paychecks because I wasn't working in a bookstore. But I had this problem with shelving books. Like, I would go into the stacks, and I would shelve books all the time, and I would hear people say my name, "Hey, Courtney." So me thinking that it's a patron or a customer, I would be like, "Yeah, what can I do for you? You know, are you looking for something?" There'd be nobody there. Or the people who were sitting there would look at me like I was nuts. It used to drive me nuts because I, you know, I was just like, okay, you know what, go away. I'm at work. You're making me look like the crazy girl. And seriously, some of the employees started to kind of question, like, why is Courtney talking to herself? You know, because it happened all the time. So finally I got the idea of, okay, I wear a name tag every day. I'm going to take off my name tag. And if somebody says my name, I will hesitate before answering. If somebody comes up to me and says, "Excuse me, do you work here?" then I know that they're a live person. And it worked.
That's a good one. Oh, really? Oh, that's funny, Courtney.
And it worked.
That's great.
The way they come to me is very interesting. A lot of times I connect with their moment of death. And I know that sounds kind of off the wall, but a lot of times that's how I connect with spirit. I know that they're with me. I know that they're there, but I'm starting to get this sensation of being crushed or being drowned or my chest is hurting or my head feels like it's throbbing. Like, I start to connect with the way they feel towards the end of their life. And then once I have that, it's almost like I kind of get that awareness of pay attention. And once I kind of look up or I really kind of just, you know, focus in on who's here, that's when I can see them. You know, that's when I'm really trying to use, you know, trying to use my gifts. Sometimes, you know, when I'm thinking and I'm kind of in the midst of work or I'm in the midst of something, my mind's very open. I'm just trying to get things done or my mind's kind of wandering. And they'll just kind of, I'll look up and they're just standing there staring at me, you know, and then all of a sudden I get that emotional overload of, oh my gosh, this person's not alive. You know, what do they need? Yeah. The best way I can describe it is almost like an energy cord between me and them. Once that cord is established, you know, they're pulling energy, I'm pulling energy. I have the freedom to be able to speak with them and, you know, ask them questions and so forth and so on, you know, and connect and give those messages. It is a beautiful gift to have. I've helped a lot of people with that gift, and I am so grateful to be able to do so. You know, especially if somebody has told me, you know what, you've given me closure. I really needed this.
Right. Yeah.
The hardest part about that gift is, you know, sometimes you do have to shut it off. You have to kind of put it to the side because you can't be a medium 24 hours a day or 7 days,
right.
You know, 7 days a week. It's too much.
Right. Right. And there's times where it's not appropriate. When I'm standing there at my daughter's cheerleading thing, it's not, you know, I might even get something, but I'm not going to say something to somebody, you know, and you can't be on all the time. And I know there are some people who are, and I think it would just really make you ill because it drains your energy. It really does. It sucks that out of you.
It does. But I think that people need to understand that it's not something to fear. You know, I have a lot of people who go, well, aren't you scared? You know, there's not always good energies out there. And they're right. You know, some energies aren't good. And the more you do this and the more you work with this, you know, psychics have what is called a psychic shield. We put up our shield.
Mm-hmm.
If it's positive, it can come through. If it's negative, our
yep.
shield will bounce that back off like
That's
a boomerang.
Right. Absolutely. 150%.
You know, we're very protected. We know we have to be very protected to do this. But
yep.
if you are somebody out there that is mediumistic and you are learning how to control this gift and you're learning how to deal with this gift, you know, sit down and do some meditation. Picture yourself in a bubble. I know it sounds kind of off the wall, but imagine yourself kind of in that bubble, you know, surrounded by that light. You know, that is what's going to keep you in the good, and that's also
mm-hmm.
your psychic shield. You're building your psychic shield, and you're preventing anything negative from coming your way.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is one of the major things to keep in mind. I do see that we have some people in chat. Thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it, and I'm sure Shelley does too.
Yes,
but the reason why I wanted to talk about what mediumship looks like is to kind of eliminate some of that fear out there. You know, can spirits float objects? I've seen spirits move objects before, but like my most common one is my my light switch in the closet.
Yeah.
It goes on and off, on and off, on and off
yeah.
all night long.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a spirit throw things or get violent. I've not had that experience. You know, have you had anything along those lines, Shelley?
No, and I'm glad I haven't because I probably would, you know, run and hide. But I really truly feel that a lot has to do with your intentions and, you know, like attracts like. So I personally, now my nieces who are little baby mediums, I mean like hardcore, they have had negative experiences. But I think maybe it has to do with them being children and not understanding how to protect themselves. I mean, we've had that discussion, but, you know, who to call on and know they're okay. But they seem to be a little more vulnerable to things, picking them up. But I have been very lucky and not had to really deal with anything on a negative sense. Now, like what you said, we have a shield. I feel I am very protected. I work in the light. You know, one time when my husband was really getting into meditation, I would always tell him, you need to protect yourself before you do this. And he would think I was crazy. And I remember he would always meditate before he would go to sleep. And I went to bed one night, and I was laying there, and all I was hearing was profanity being thrown at me. And so I knew, you know, he wasn't intentionally sitting out there to, you know, do something negative, but sometimes when you aren't protecting yourself, right, it does open you up, especially when you're first starting because you don't know, you know, and he was just doing it, you know. It's like being a teenager and playing with a Ouija board and just not asking for a prayer protection and just calling out to see what was there. Well, I think that's a little bit of what he was doing. And so I was just getting thrown a whole lot of profanity that wasn't good. I knew it was negative, and I just had to pray, call in the light, call in Archangel Michael, and it stopped. So that was probably the worst that I've dealt with. Now, I do a lot of ghost hunting things, and I have come into contact with some pretty nasty spirits. Luckily, the worst they've done is just the swearing and really vulgar stuff, but nothing physical, so that's good. But, yeah, I've been pretty lucky, so.
Well, you actually bring up a good point with, you know, ghost hunting and so forth. Now, I have a story that I would like to share, but I also know that you have one you would like to share. So would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
You know what, you go first, because yours is really cool. But you know what's so weird is both of our stories, like, were within the same week.
That's what's weird.
It worked.
It was they like want to slap one of us around, they're going to slap all of us around.
I know. Yeah, you go first, because yours is really cool.
Okay. So a couple of weekends ago, well, actually more than a couple weekends ago, but 4th of July weekend, me and my husband actually took a trip up to Gladwin, Michigan. My father-in-law owns two cabins up there, and we spent the weekend with my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and my future sister-in-law. And it was a fun weekend. There was two cabins on the property, so, you know, we could split between the two. But my father-in-law started talking about this property the first night that we arrived that he wanted to purchase, and it was this stone cottage. And as soon as he started talking about it, I got this really bad feeling. It didn't feel right to me. The longer he talked about it, and he told me that, you know, it was all original stonework, it's very old. You know, they're asking for a very low price for it. He was telling me a lot of different things about this property. And my husband actually asked me, he goes, well, you know, you have Facebook. Didn't you see the pictures of it on there? And I was like, no. You know, I go on Facebook every single day to check my business page and kind of keep up with things, but I don't sit there and kind of filter through. I just don't have the time for that.
Right.
So I happen to miss the pictures. But my husband said it looked like it was something from the Amityville Horror. And I thought,
God.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So I kind of just let the conversation drop that night, and you know, we went to bed, and I had nightmares about this property all night. Dreamt of what the property looked like. I dreamt of, you know, I mean, they hadn't described it. They just said it was a stone cottage, but I literally dreamt of what this property looked like, and I just had nightmares all night about not going there, not purchasing it. It wasn't right. So the following day, towards dusk, because, you know, they had to wait till evening, after dinner, my father-in-law said, you know, I would really like to take you over there, Courtney, to check it out because, you know, you're psychic and we'll see what you get and so forth and so on. Well, once we got to the property, it was really weird. Once you pass the property line of the stone cottage, you get out of what's a dead zone, which means your cell phones start working again. So I thought that was very interesting to start. Like, you literally have to pass this stone cottage before you can even get cell phone reception again.
Oh, yeah, that would make me nervous.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, and then that was kind of like my first warning. My second warning was when I stepped on the property, and it was surrounded by willow trees. And anybody who has worked with willow before knows that it does have magical properties. Willow is, you know, what we consider a magical tree. It does have magical properties. If you've ever studied paganism, willow comes up with that. So I thought that was interesting that there were several willows on the property. The third thing that I found interesting was is when I looked up at the property, I could tell already just by looking at the windows, there was faces staring out at me. I knew this place
good
was
Lord.
So way to that property.
I would have ran.
I know, right? So, you know, the front of the porch is all covered in debris. and all of that. So you actually have to go through the back. Now, the back door of the property is actually an addition. They had built out a kind of reminds me of a wood shack, to be honest with you. But it's actually like an addition, almost like what would be kind of a garage without the door. So when we went into the back, and then, you know, you walk up the steps and then you actually go into the main house, the whole back was it was full of stuff. There was antiques. There was tons and tons of stuff. And I thought, why would somebody leave all this stuff here? You know, I mean, anybody who knows antiques knows that there's some good finds here. So then when we went in the house, everything was just left. It looked like somebody had literally just ran out the front door one day and left every single thing where it was. Newspapers were left, dishes were left, cups, plates, everything was just left. The funny thing about everything in this home was it looked like it was all from the 60s. The TV, the plants, everything looked outdated. Even the newspapers that were laying upstairs on the, like somebody had just dropped it because they were reading it, came from the 60s. It was really ironic. God. And the more I walked through this house, I just didn't want to be there. I seen spirits everywhere, and they were telling me, you know, you need to leave. You need to get out. This is not your place. You know, we don't welcome people here. You need to leave. There's been a lot of tragedy here. So I'm trying to explain this to my father-in-law, who's a little bit of a non-believer, and he's just kind of chuckling along, you know, kind of like, okay. And I was really serious. Like, I really insisted that he did not buy this property. I was like, you do not want to buy this property. It's just the amount of house blessings that would have to be done with this property.
Right, right.
I would be up here every weekend.
Right, right. No
you
kidding,
know?
Right?
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is he didn't quite believe me at all. Until my brother-in-law was digging upstairs because there was just stuff everywhere, and he found a Ouija board pointer. And
as soon as
he saw that, but we couldn't find, we weren't going to go through somebody's, you know, this home, but it was kind of laying underneath newspapers or some type of paperwork. As soon as we found that, and he was like, well, you know, where's the board? That kind of let alarm signals off on and everyone. You know, even my husband was alarmed. And that's when everybody kind of just looked at me and was like, let's, you know, we time to go.
Right, right.
But the one thing we did do before we left is we went down to the cellar. It was all original stonework. Basement. There was a stone cellar down there as well where you could can things, you know, where people used to put their can items. But the funny thing about it is I couldn't get near it. I couldn't go near it.
Really?
The best way I can explain it was I really fully feel that it was a portal and spirits just coming through left and right. I actually got super cold down there to the point where the hair was raised all over my body. And even my husband, who is still a little bit of a skeptic, he likes to call spirits air drafts, even though he's seen them and heard them and felt them. All the hair was raised up on his body, and he was like, we're done, we're out of here. But I energy start to kind of rush at me, and I was like, nope, not messing with that today.
Yep.
But needless to say, this property was extremely haunted. The price for this property explains the haunting. I mean, I think that they were only asking near 20 sal for this property. It was a large property. I mean, the house was gorgeous. It needed some work, but it was very gorgeous. But just the idea of I seriously felt like somebody just picked up and took off. Like,
they
woke up one day, saw something they didn't like or was levitating off the bed and ran out that front door and said, I'm out.
Oh, my gosh.
But this was my
That's
experience.
Scary.
Yeah, you know, and I talked to my father-in-law a little bit about it. I don't know if he's still insistent about buying it. I really hope that he doesn't, but if he does, I have enough experience in this to be able to go in and cleanse the home and close the portal and, you know, clear all that energy. It's a lot of work. I would probably not be able to do it alone because of the potency of the haunting. But it's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes you really have to do your homework before you buy a property.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I know you have a story as well, so go ahead and
Yeah, I don't know if mine's as good as yours. Yours is pretty freaky. I'm, like, sitting here alone in my shop. I'm like, oh, gosh. And honestly, it is really funny because, I mean, It's different. When I do my mediumship, it's loving and it's peaceful and it's helpful. But when you're dealing with a ghost, it just freaks me out. I can't help it. But mine is very similar. You know, I do I work with a paranormal group here in Michigan, and they call themselves GHS, so it's for Ghost Hunting Sisters. So they do this really cool thing where they put on these events where people can purchase tickets and they go in and, you know, you can do this ghost hunt with them. So I come along with them and, you know, feel the energy of the place. It's really cool because when I get stuff, then immediately we get confirmation. So where we were going this time was in Allegan. I always want to say it Allegan or something, but it's Allegan, which is about 2.5 hours away. Really nice place. So as we're going, we're about 45 minutes into our trip. Now, I was with Donna, who is my floor person here at the shop, and her son and nephew were in the car behind us, and her niece was with us. And we're getting on to, I think, 94, maybe 96, I don't really remember. And we start slowing down, we slow down, slow down, slow down, and then we kind of come to a stop, and we're just kind of moving a little bit. And I pick up my phone, I'm like, well, let me text Kelly and let her know, you know, we're running into some traffic here, and, you know, we might be a little bit behind. So I'm texting Kelly and letting her know, and Caitlin, who is Donna's niece, says, oh, I just looked up on my phone, and there's an accident. I'm like, okay, well, we'll be here for a little bit. And as I hit send on my phone to text Kelly, this overwhelming feeling came over me. And I knew, and, you know, because my clairvoyance is getting better, I could see there was a man standing next to me. So, of course, what do I think of right away is that movie Sixth Sense. Remember, you saw that movie, right, Courtney? The Sixth Sense? Uh-oh, Courtney. All right, well, I'm going to keep talking. Maybe she can't hear me, but I'm hoping something didn't happen with my phone. Anyway.
No, I'm so sorry. Oh, I was actually
okay, good.
Calling.
I panicked. I was like, oh, God, is my phone? Did something happen with my phone?
You want to hear something funny, Shelly?
Here's what's funny for you.
I don't know my mom's household number. I've not memorized it at all.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I'm so used to technology that you just, you know, type home and it calls home.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going through screen calling, and then, you know, I switched to one phone number, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, that's my mom talking in the background.
That's so funny.
But yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. I was like, Courtney? Hello? Oh, that's awesome. Okay, anyway, we always have a good time when we're together, I'll tell you what. Anyway, so the Sixth Sense movie. So have you seen that movie? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
It's a little boy who sees dead people. So remember how at the end of the movie, how he's in the car with his mother and there was an accident and the ghost, the female ghost, was like standing next to him and he's like, I don't think everything's okay up there, you know. And so we were kind of laughing because that is exactly what that was like for me. So this man was standing there next to my window and I felt him cross over. He went to the other side right away. Okay. Why he came to me, I don't know. I think my flipping light was shining like a freaking beacon that day because after, as the story goes on, I'll explain why. But I was sitting there, and I look up, and I looked at Donna, and I said, oh, no. And she's like, what? I said, yep, we're going to be here a while. And she's like, why? What's going on? I said, well, unfortunately, somebody died. It's a man. And so, it's, you know, it's a fatality accident, so we're not going anywhere for quite some time. She's like, really? I said, uh-huh. And she's like, what happened? I said, I don't know, but I just know there's one man who's dead, and he's up there, and he just was at my door, and now he's gone. So as we start, you know, wait, sitting there, my car is in park. I shut my car off. People are now starting to get out of their cars. So we're standing outside. I mean, everybody was getting out of their cars, and people are talking to each other, you know, and we could see we were only maybe 40 to 50 cars down. So, I mean, we just missed it. You know, if we were 5 minutes ahead of our schedule, I don't know, we would have been there. So we weren't far from the accident site. So we're sitting there talking, and these two girls come walking down the side of the road, and somebody says, you know, are you guys going to check things out? And they're like, yeah, we're going to go see what's going on. So they go down there, and they're down there for a little while, and they come walking back about 20 minutes later. And so Donna's like, so what's going on? And she's like, well, there's a man there. He's dead. And, you know, we can't go anywhere because they're, you know, they got to figure out what's going on. Apparently it was a pedestrian who either walked in front of the semi-truck purposefully or he was accidentally hit. But unfortunately, this man, you know, was hit by a semi. So he died quickly, thank goodness. And so Donna, when, of course, as soon as she said that, she turns around and looks at me. She's like, oh, my God. If anybody knows Donna, you know, she's like. And so then, of course, she tells everybody I'm a medium. And then I said that this guy was dead. But, you know, so that's where, you know, and then all of a sudden all these people just start kind of flooding me at that time. I had people coming, like this guy showed up out of nowhere and wanted me to connect to his dead friend. And it's like, you know what? It doesn't work like that. You know, they have to be there. It's like anybody, you know, if you go to visit somebody at their house, if they're not home, you're not going to sit and have a conversation and drink coffee with that person. If they're not home, they're not home. Well, that's the same way this goes. If they're not coming through, if they're not there, they're not there. They're with family. They're learning something on the other side and, you know, can't make people show up. So I got a little bit of information, but it wasn't as strong as it normally is because it just wasn't there, you know. So we finally, after about 2.5 hours, finally get moving from that. So that was, you know, an interesting way to start our night. So the whole reason why we were going there was we were doing a ghost hunt at this lodge in Allegan. And it was a building that was built in the early 1900s. It was originally a hospital. And then in the early 20s, I think, it kind of turned into a little bit of a TB hospital. They had a lot of tuberculosis patients. And then after, I want to say, maybe the 40s, going into the 50s, the Elks took over it. And then after that, then I think after the Elks, then it's been empty. So walking up to this lodge, I could immediately start feeling the spirit energy. And it's kind of like what you said, you know, you walk up and you start seeing people in the windows. Well, being that I'm not as clairvoyant, I feel their energy. So I'm like, oh, yeah, this place is, oh, my gosh. I go inside into the front, and I said to Kelly and Lisa, I'm like, oh, my God. And they're like, yeah, no kidding, right? I'm like, this place is insane. So we go back outside. They show the equipment to everybody. They're explaining it to how things work. And then we always start with an opening prayer. Well, as they're doing their prayer, my guides are telling me, all right, we are really amping up your protection. You've got to be careful in the basement. There are very negative spirits down there. So just be careful, but, you know, we got your back, basically. So we go downstairs, and, you know, there's a group of us, and somebody has what's called an iovulus. So what it is, it's a machine that spirit can use to form words. So it's got a dictionary. It sounds very robotic. It doesn't repeat, so you got to be paying attention. And as soon as we walk downstairs, I'm like, oh, yeah, there is, like, three spirits down here. One is more in control. He's very negative, very angry, doesn't want us here. And then immediately the iovulus starts going off, and it's saying profanity. I'm not going to say what it said, but it was basically telling us where to go. And then it also called us a not very nice name. And I'm like, see, I told you. I told you it was negative down here. So we kind of, you know, went around a little bit, and then we went into the other room, and they were all sitting in a circle. And we were just using, you know, the equipment and just asking questions and listening. And all of a sudden, I got very dizzy. I mean, it was like there was a whirlwind of spirit just going around the circle. And all of a sudden, I could hear this woman sobbing, and she was asking where her baby was. And I was telling people this. I'm like, you know, there's a woman here, and she's hysterical. She's crying, asking where her baby is. You know, she can't find her baby. I'm like, this, and I was like, felt like I was going to fall over. I'm like, I got to go. I was shaking from my whole top of my head to my feet. I was just trembling. And I normally am not like that when I do these. I'm usually pretty calm. I usually got a grip over things. And So we went upstairs, and I told Donna, I said, Donna, I feel like I'm about ready to cry. I feel like I'm about ready to have a panic attack. And so Tracy, who is one of the other sisters who helps out with the ghost hunt, she's like, do you want to step outside for a minute? And I said, yeah. So they always lock the building so that nobody from the outside can come in, you know, because they got to be responsible for the property. So she's trying to unlock the door. Well, next to the front door is a room. And I look in there, and I'm like, what's that? And she's like, oh, honey, there's nothing in there. I'm like, yes, there is. Get me out of here. So it just got so overwhelming to me. As soon as I stepped outside, I was calm, and I was fine. Took a few deep breaths, came back in, and was able to finish the investigation. We went upstairs. There's a little girl up there. You know, we actually heard her giggling. You know, that was pretty cool. But other than that, the rest of the night was pretty uneventful. So the next day, we had stayed at a bed and breakfast there. We went back the next day before we were getting ready to leave. And Donna and her friends, they wanted to see the back of the building because I guess originally the back of the building used to be the front and the front used to be the back. So we wanted to see what it looked like over there. So I was just kind of standing there, and I'm just looking around and looking at it and just thinking. And all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I could see a woman standing next to me. So, and I could tell that she had dark hair, it was curly, and she was in a white dress, and she was like, it was like turn of the century type clothing. And she, you know, I basically just had this conversation with her. You know, she was telling me how, you know, disappointed she was that the lodge had turned into, you know, just being empty and not being used, that the, you know, the doctor that started it was a very loving and caring man, and, you know, he had such hopes for this place, and, you know, it's just really sad that it's, you know, not being utilized like it should be and whatnot. And she told me her name was Mabel. So Donna comes around, and I must have this look on my face when I'm doing mediumship stuff because she's like, what's going on? I said, oh, I'm just sitting here talking to Mabel here, and, you know, she just laughs. You know, she's used to it. So we get in the car, and she starts Googling the lodge and wants to see if this Mabel makes any sense. The first thing she finds on there is it was a blog that one of the other ghost hunts that had been there before had done some research, and it said that one of the only couple names that they could actually come up with that was tied into the lodge was an Ethel Mabel Reynolds. And back then, it was not uncommon for people to go by their middle names. I know quite a few people in my family back in the early 1900s went by their middle names. They didn't go by their first name. So that was really cool to have that confirmation. You know, it's like it just helps in trusting in the information that I do get. And the fact that, you know, I was standing there talking to somebody who, you know, I could actually tie that name to. A couple months later, or just this past month, my sister and I and the girls went back to the bed and breakfast there. And the woman that owns the bed and breakfast owns the lodge. And she was telling me that one time, because she's trying to do renovations there, and she can't seem to keep any crews working. They'll start, and then things start happening, and then they leave. She's been in there. She's had her glasses knocked off her face. She's been shoved, which I'm not surprised because that energy in the basement is very negative. And she was like, oh, you could take the kids over there. And I was like, oh, heck no. I was not about, no way was I going to let my kids go into that house or into that lodge. So she had told me about, she mentioned that they had found, like, under the porch there were some bones. And she thought maybe it was animal bones, but she was keeping them because she wasn't sure what to do with them. And she had a woman that was staying with her at the bed and breakfast, and she looked at them, and she was a forensic nurse. She so she knows bones, obviously, and she told her, no, these are infant bones. Well, then I remembered when I was in the basement and that woman was sobbing for her baby. And so she's like, so I have these bones and I don't know what to do with them. I want to go put them back. I almost felt like she was asking me to do it. And I was like, no, I am not having anything to do with that stuff. That place is just way too much for me, you know. So that was probably the most intense experience I've had dealing with a haunting, especially with just the negative part of it. So, yeah, that was my experience. And so starting off with having this man who died in a car accident, you know, and you know, it was upsetting because we, you know, driving by, we saw him still laying there. It was very, very upsetting. But, you know, having him die and come to, you know, the side of my window, and I don't know if he used my light to go on the other side or if the light was there for him, why he showed up next to my car, I don't know. You know, I didn't talk to him. He was just gone. But, yeah, that was a surreal kind of day. It was crazy.
Well, I bet. That's one of those things where you should have been taped from the time you got out of bed to the time you went to
I know, right? Oh, my gosh. I know.
But those types of experiences, yeah. Even though they're profound, and even though mm-hmm. you kind of look at them and go, wow, it's just,
yeah.
You also have that moment of, yeah, well, that's also sometimes the normal day of a psychic. You know, that's
yes, it is.
You know.
Yep.
I actually had a good friend of mine tell me the other day that she believes that I should have my own TV show because she says some
oh,
of the
yeah.
things that I that happened to me and the things that I go through and just the way that I am. She's like, well, you should have your own television show. I was like, no. I was like, because people would be cracked up.
Oh, my gosh. I think about that. I'm like, you know.
Thing, but they'd be like, what? Heck!
I know. I mean, like, my life would be to have me have, like, a reality show with, okay, so I got four kids, you know, one of them who's autistic. I got that to deal with. Then I'm dealing with the business and dealing, yeah, they, yeah, it'd be crazy, off the hook crazy, you know.
I always said that if I ever did do a show, it'd be like the day in the life of a psychic.
Yeah, yeah. It is, because it's like that. Even so, like, even yesterday, my youngest came to me, and there was a friend. I don't even know why she told this to me. I mean, it was happened in the school year, and I don't remember her name, her friend's name, Allison or something like that, Abby something, starts with an A. And she was like, Mommy, one time, you know, so-and-so asked me, said, oh, yeah, well, what's my middle name? And she said, I sat there, and I looked at her, and I said, Jay. And the girl looked, she goes, and then she looked at me and was like, oh, my God, how did you know that? I was like, oh, good job, Natalie. You're my baby, my little baby psychic. I mean, you know what I mean? That's pretty good.
Yeah,
so,
that is. That,
and
it's,
I think,
it's amazing.
It is. It is amazing. I mean, like, I feel bad when people say they don't believe in it. I'm like, really? How boring. I mean, it's our lives are so flippin' interesting. I mean,
well, it is very interesting, and it's definitely it's you never go through a day without being surprised. Even
yeah,
my office
ain't that the truth?
Space. So the other like yesterday, I was here in the office, and mm-hmm. I don't take appointments on Mondays and Tuesdays. I actually. I work for Body, Mind, Spirit Guide on Mondays and Tuesdays. But
mm-hmm.
I was here in the office yesterday with one of the girls, and we were talking, about how we kind of felt like maybe something was here with us.
Hey, Courtney. I don't know if you're there. I can't hear you. Weird. It's just me. I'm here. I don't.
Hi, guys. I'm so sorry about that. We actually just lost power. Let me see if Shelly's still here. Shelly, are you here?
Yeah, I am now. Can you hear me?
I am. Yes, I can hear you. I am so sorry about that. Everybody who is listening, I apologize. We actually just lost power and everything crashed. The internet crashed, so I lost the studio. The phone went down. Everything went down, so I lost the whole entire show right in front of me. So,
don't you love that?
I am so sorry. I know I was right in the middle of some topic.
I don't know what we were talking about. All of a sudden, I'm like, Courtney, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to call back.
Yeah, that just goes to show you spirit's having fun, because to be honest with you, with the last week, I've had, like, the weirdest experiences. Like, I was going to say, you know, I was talking about being here in the office yesterday. We said that we felt like there was something maybe going on here, but just hasn't made itself known, like a spirit hasn't stepped forward. Kind of funny mm-hmm. that I'm upstairs in my office, and the moment I say that, the power blows. And then it was out
exactly.
for about 2 minutes, and the sun, it just came right back on.
Yeah.
So, but the interesting thing about it was, is while we were talking about this yesterday, all of a sudden we started hearing this rattling, and it sounded like car keys. And when we turned and looked at the dining room table where her stuff was, her car keys were just laying there. But we couldn't figure out where the noise was coming from. So, we were just kind of like, okay, we just kind of let it go. But then, you know, this power outage, yesterday my phone wouldn't stop taking pictures rapidly. All it was doing was taking pictures rapidly. My GPS this morning kept going off, and, like, I kept trying to turn it. I turned it off, and it would come back on, and it would give me – it was just – a lot of electronical things have been going a little haywire around me lately.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
But to be honest,
I'm going
to
go hide in my room for a minute. I see that my Reiki person is pulling up, so I know she's going to be – everyone's going to be talking to me in a minute. Okay. Keep going.
I look at that experience as it's not scary. Most people would be very freaked out about that right now. They would be like, oh, my gosh, you know. I'm looking at it as if somebody's trying to get a message through to me and maybe they're not making themselves known, or they're having a very hard time with it.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I'm just kind of saying, all right, well, whenever you do have the opportunity to step through and make your presence known, bring it on.
Right, yeah. When you're ready to talk, let me know.
Right, exactly.
But I see that we're down to the last 5 minutes of our show. I'm so sorry for you guys that are out there listening. I really appreciate it. next month we won't have this problem, I promise.
It's life. It happens.
What I do, yeah, it does. It's day in the life of a psychic.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
One of the things that I did want to talk about real quick before I end the show, sadly we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about it, but there was actually a few things, but one of the first things I want to talk about is Ouija boards have been coming up a lot lately in topic. A lot lately with my clientele, a lot lately with people that I've been talking to who have been dealing with spiritual energy, and this is my recommendation. If you have a Ouija board that you used and maybe you did not protect yourself in the process, you know, you just kind of used it and now you're feeling gritty or grimy or you feel like you can't get rid of that energy, do not burn a Ouija board. That is like burning the front door off of a house. Then they can just blow through and nothing stopping it. Instead, what you want to do is you want to bury the Ouija board because that jam-packs the door so that the door cannot open again, and it closes it, and therefore nothing can get through. It'll stop that energy. If it is a very severe case and you're having a lot of trouble with it, please give me a call. I work with spiritual cleansings and getting rid of that energy, and I'd be more than welcome to help you. The last thing that I wanted to talk about real quick is some tools to help you with spirit. I've been getting that question lately. You know, that I want to grow my intuition. I want to learn. What can I use? You can use anything that your heart desires except a Ouija board. work with tarot cards, oracle cards, runes. There's a lot of crystals out there that can help you now. Angelite's a popular one. Purple obsidian has gained popularity. Soulsight gained popularity. There's a lot of stones out there that can help you with spirit, sting to those spirits in a good way. A lot of people don't like skulls, but skulls actually help you connect with spirits and ancestors. And no, we're not talking about real ones, but maybe right. ones that are made out of stone or that symbolism. So there's a lot of different tools that can actually help you connect with spirit and that energy. And then also you can also connect with the medium like Shelly or I. If you guys have any questions about that, feel free to give us a call. I know that I'm more than willing to answer questions, and I know Shelly is too. We're pretty laid back and open, as you can tell by my show. But Shelly, before we run out of time, please give out your information so that people can connect with you.
Oh, sure. So the name of the shop is Illuminate Your Spirit. We're in downtown Plymouth. We are on Wing Street, so wing like a bird. We're between Main Street and Forest. I have several different psychics here. I also do readings. We sell a large array of different spiritual candles. I have bath salts, smudge sticks, oils, all kinds of fun stuff, bunch of fun jewelry. Our phone number here at the shop, because it's best to make an appointment, is 734-259-8651. The shop is also on Facebook, so if you want to like us on Facebook and always get up-to-date stuff, classes and who's in for readings, all that fun stuff, it's just, I believe, illuminateyourspirit.com, you know, Facebook, whatever. But go to the search. I'm sure it'll come up. And then our website is the same, illuminateyourspirit.com.
All right, Shelly. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it. And I'm going to have you on again in the future because, you know, with the way this show went, we still didn't get to cover everything.
That's so weird. I know, right? I know. That is so odd. But you know what? That's just how it is, you know?
Yep.
Someone's trying to make themselves known, clearly, because the weather isn't warrant for losing power.
I want to thank you so much for joining me today and being here with me. You're a delight, as always, and I know I'll be talking with you soon.
Yes, thank you, Courtney.
For those of you who called in earlier and asked for my information, there's several different ways you can contact me. My email is moon, M-O-O-N, beam, D-E-A-M, essence, E-S-S-E, at yahoo.com. My phone number is 313-516-8210. I'm available for appointments Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 a.m. until 8 p.m., and sometimes I do make exceptions during the week. You can also call me about reading prices and so forth and so on, and yes, I do phone readings for those of you who maybe are not located in the Michigan area. Lastly, you can connect with me through Facebook, Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield, where I do have some of my products. People leave me comments, messages. I try to answer everybody and get back to everybody. So if you had a question that maybe I didn't get a chance to answer today, or you want to know anything about the show or anything, feel free to contact me through there. And I also have DivineTemperance.com. It's under description, so please bear with me, but a lot of my information is up there too. I want to thank everybody for joining me today. I know this was a very interesting show, a little bit out of the ballpark, but that's the whole point of Unveiling the Psychic Truth. We talk about the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, and everything going on. So I want to wish everybody a very happy August. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you next month. And luckily, next month, I actually have a wonderful guest who's going to be joining me. He is a professional psychic medium, Andy Myers, who just published a book, Flying Paint Rollers from Heaven. He's going to be on the show, and we're going to talk about a lot of things that pertain to being psychic in that direction as well. So definitely stay tuned for that, the first Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m., and everybody have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.